It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
You know, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor, back in the ATL.
Lee Cantor, how are you, bud?
Hanging in.
Good week. We had a great time. Awesome time. We were in,
where were we?
Baltimore, Maryland. Inner Harbor.
That was a nice place.
We were at the 2011 FitBloggin' Convention at the Marriott down there. Unbelievable place. Got to meet, we didn't really get to meet, but we saw Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You did.
And, I did.
Or Casey.
No, I showed him to you.
Right,
we both saw him.
But big thank you to Ronnie Noon. I mean, she is a very special human being to be able to pull off an event like that.
With a kid,
and just really impressive.
And had time to get a tattoo.
She got a fresh tattoo?
I don't know. I'm making that up. I know she had a tattoo, but I didn't know if she got it for the event. But she did an amazing job, and we had so much fun. It was great to see her, and we met so many people there. And if we didn't have to speak, we would have met a lot more. Yeah. I would have met a lot more, but I was a little stressed out.
Very focused on the speaking.
But great. We finally got to meet Carla Bernberg up close, Ms. Fit Online. We got to meet her and got to hang out with her a little bit. She did a great job. And we got to meet her. Who else did we meet there? Our buddy from No More Bacon.
Right, the bacon guy.
Ryan Sullivan.
Oh, we met a ton of all those.
Foodie McBody.
Right, all those.
Susan, we met.
All
the people that we met up there to do our wellness minutes. They
Diet
were a lot
Girl
of fun.
Waved to me.
Yep.
From afar.
Yes. And there were so many people that we didn't get to just connect to. But next year, we're going back next year.
Melissa McNeese.
Melissa McNeese was there. We've seen Melissa many, many times, and it's always great to see her. She's always been a big help to us, and got to meet Leslie McClure, who works with Melissa as
Leslie
well.
Leslie McClure.
And
that's from The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
Todd McClure.
That's a real name?
There was Todd McClure from The Simpsons.
Oh.
That's all.
I don't watch The Simpsons.
Of course
I'm sure a lot
it's
of people
been on for 20
I'm sure
years.
A lot of people on our show.
You missed it for
yes,
20 years.
I haven't.
For 2 decades.
I didn't get it. What night is it on TV?
Sunday.
Always? It's always been on Sundays?
Yes.
Before
for
or after
years.
60 minutes?
Since you were in your 20s, it's been on Sunday.
Now, is it after 60 minutes?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So I could actually literally watch 60 minutes and then,
you wouldn't
and then
be,
go.
You wouldn't be missing it.
I need to talk about 60 minutes. Well, actually, I don't want to talk about 60 minutes. I need to talk. Well, we got to talk more about the Fit Blogging, but I need to mention before we get further into the show, anyone that's up in New Jersey, New York, the tri-state area, there is going to be a fantastic seminar I want everyone to go to who's in the health and fitness industry. On Saturday, June 25th, there is a seminar, a strength and conditioning seminar, and our buddy Matt Briskey is going to be involved in that.
Oh, so
and
you know it's good.
You know it's going to be good. And if you go to smarterteamtraining.com, it's going to be at the Pingree. That's the P-I-N-G-R-Y, the Pingree School in Martinsville, New Jersey. And this is being put on by a guy by the name of Rob Taylor. And there is a wonderful, wonderful speaking list of people that are going to be there, a lot of great experts. They're going to be talking about lots of different stuff relating to functional movements, injuries, you know, what your workout programs are missing. People that are trainers, people that are involved in the health and fitness world, this is just a headliner of great speakers. So go up there, check it out. I'm actually thinking about going up there myself just to actually listen to the speakers.
Right. And when you say thinking about, you mean not going?
No, it's June 25th. I have to get permission from my wife to see if I can go.
Exactly.
I'm going to probably have to take her with me.
She loves New Jersey, doesn't she?
Yes, there's
she?
Nothing like New Jersey. So
New Jersey
we have
Shore,
to go there.
Summer.
Again, that is June 25th. Go check that out. It's going to be great. So let's get back to FitBlog in 2011. What were some of your impressions, Lee? What did you think?
My favorite part was you doing the 5K and me not doing it. That was one of the highlights for me.
That's so wrong.
And those blackberries, I'll tell you. I immediately went to Costco and bought 2 boxes of those blackberries. Those were awesome.
Yeah. We now, Did you tell Ronnie about how you got in trouble from the staff from hoarding all the blackberries at the Fit Blogging convention? Did you tell everyone?
The bowl was a single serving bowl, and I took it. And it seems that that was for everyone to share.
I'll tell you, the breakfast they had was really an awesome breakfast. They had berries and hard-boiled eggs, which is, I don't know if they read what I eat for breakfast, but that's exactly what I like to have for breakfast, hard-boiled eggs and berries. So they were really good. They did a great job. And but that was what. So not going to the 5K, not being a part of it,
and the blackberries,
not being a part of the walk or anything, just being antisocial.
Yes,
and that's what you remember.
That
most.
Was a highlight, and then
that was a highlight. It wasn't even a memory; it was a highlight of your.
And then the panel with our buddy Ms. Fit and Carla and those two
Carla Walsh,
Andrea Metcalf, your girlfriend.
Yes,
yeah, dinner together.
I think she set it up.
You had a date with?
I think she set it up. All of a sudden, I'm sitting at this restaurant, and I'm, you know, you actually went there. You and your family came, and then they couldn't get us a table.
Well, we didn't want to be a third wheel.
No.
With you and Andrea. That's what happened, really.
No, they couldn't get us a table till 9:30, correct? And
they couldn't
you're
get
like,
me a table, but you somehow they squeezed in.
No, there's a couple of seats around the bar, and you're like, nah, we'll just go here. Because the price, it was a little pricey anyway to begin with. But yeah. They had redfish, my favorite fish. So I sat down at the bar, and who shows up next to me? Andrea Metcalf, dressed to the nines, like a big, like a black cocktail dress, beautiful.
Got her heels. Dr. Fitness Hunting clothes on.
And she's also with a friend, and somehow we managed to sit down and have dinner together. We had a good time. It was a lot of fun. And the 5K was great. It actually showed me a great path around to run around
the harbor,
which is great, and great place to run.
And then speaking of pizza, how good was that pizza?
Pizza. Oh, right. We went to Little Italy.
Right.
That's right. I forgot all about that.
Another highlight that I went twice in one day.
Right. All of a sudden, you know, we said there, you know, we're thinking about places to eat because we had a very limited breakfast. We're a little bit, when lunch came around, we were a little hungry.
You know, berries are nice.
And we wanted to go off
pizza.
We wanted to go off the grid. So we go. Where can we go eat? And you're
and we don't go to chains.
Right.
It's a no chain rule when we're on the road.
And you go, dude, there's a Little Italy. And I'm like, I think there's like Italian. I saw a sign, Little, and we walk literally a couple of blocks.
Right.
And we're in the heart of like a Sopranos movie.
Exactly.
Like we're in the heart of it. It's like the music is in the background. Like there's like a violin.
The flags are flying.
Everybody's going, hey, forget about it.
Every name ends in I-O.
Right. It's all the Enzios and Carlitos and all these different names. And you actually used a service called Yelp, application called Yelp. And actually found the pizza place. We went to this place, and it was like a little, like couple tables, nothing big, right?
Right. It was a dive. Most people would have walked right by that place.
And we ordered a full-on pizza, right?
Pizza, tomato, brick oven.
Margarita. We ordered a margarita. And then we ordered some mozzarella caprese. We ordered the broccoli rabe, but they went strong with the cheese on that and killed it for me.
Well, they make their cheese fresh there, so they're very proud of it.
I don't know if they make it fresh. I think they make
it
from...
The mozzarella they make fresh.
I think they make it in Sicily, and then they ship it over in a day, or they send a jet that ships it right away, boom, and it lands in Baltimore.
It was good. And then right behind it was the bocce ball park.
Bocce ball.
That's
how authentic it was. And so we ate there. Had a great time. We met so many cool people there. A lot of girls. I called my buddy up, who's a doctor up in New Jersey. I said, listen, I'm married, but you're single. I got to get you down here. Tons of women that like to exercise. What better combination?
Right, for him.
Get your butt down
and
here.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
And he's a real doctor, right? Or a fake one like you?
No, he's real. He's real. Yeah.
Not MD real.
D.O.
Yeah.
He has to do surgery.
Calling it surgery now?
No, that's what he has to do. He has to go in and do day procedures, man.
Sure.
That's real stuff.
We'll go with that.
Listen, what I do is I don't kill anyone. What I do.
Well, you could.
No, I can't.
You could give someone a stroke and they could die. And crack their neck in half. Their head's flopping around.
The chances of you exercising are greater than me killing somebody from manipulation.
Really?
Yeah.
So
that's very little. But when you do those procedures, man, with the needles and stuff, that's
it's a needle, not a knife.
Yeah. Well, you poke at the carotid artery, that you got a problem. It's difficult. Yeah. You'll have a bad day. I promise you.
They're labeled in there, right? Carotid. There's a little.
What do you mean they're labeled?
Aren't they?
in the video fluoroscopy machine. They're like, go here.
Don't go here.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's
do
like
that.
A video game, I thought.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, if you haven't gone to Baltimore, I was blown away.
Yeah, it's nothing like The Wire says it is. Or Homicide or whatever
it
that show
was. Amazing. We took those sea taxis all over the place, and there that made the trip. Getting in to, instead of like you can walk around the city too, but you get on a boat to go to the next little port. What a crazy! That was awesome. Great restaurants.
Yeah,
I went to a sushi place.
Do you think Ronnie will invite us back next year?
I think so. I think she'll invite us back. I don't see any reason why not. I think we had a blast, and I got a lot out of it. I got a chance to meet a lot of great people, and I know we will be bonding with lots of people. Matter of fact, we have a guest coming on today who's actually there. We're going to be getting on the show in a little bit. But before we do anything, make sure you go to our website and check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Become one of our friends on Facebook. Go to Twitter. Follow us. I don't know why you would follow a fat guy. You're not really telling people
to
do anything,
right?
You don't
have to follow
me. Right. But if you go to my Twitter account,
follow
right?
you. That's stuff's happening with
you're
you.
You're going to find songs that you probably haven't listened to in a long time when you go work out. For instance, Endless Nights, Graham Parker. Great rocking tune. If you haven't listened to it recently, download it. Go buy it because I'm telling you.
Lady Gaga Amazon?
No.
For a dollar, the whole album.
Go to direct message me and tell me who's singing backup on Endless Nights. And if you get it correct, I will send you either a book or a DVD or something.
Is it John Eddy?
No. No.
Is it a girl?
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm giving people something to do.
Is it you? It's your buddy.
No, it's not my ear. Not my buddy.
It's Ted.
It's not my buddy Ted. So what is this with Lady Gaga? What was this
Lady
now?
Gaga on Amazon, you get the whole album for 99 cents.
Why?
Because they're doing a promotion.
For how long?
Day.
I don't like, I'm not, she doesn't.
It's a dollar.
So what?
The whole album.
I don't like any of her songs.
Okay. Then don't get it.
Do you like it?
I bought it for a dollar.
Which song do you like?
I don't care.
You just bought it?
I bought it. It's adding to my music collection.
Well, instead, if you don't care, why don't you just send me a dollar? Just send me a dollar if you don't care.
Okay. I'll send you a dollar.
Awesome.
Look in the mail.
All right. Let's bring on our first guest today. We met Matt Frazier this past weekend in Baltimore, Maryland. We didn't really get a chance to really sit down and have a sit down with him, Lee, right? We didn't get a chance to really bond with him. But he has a website called nonmeatathlete.com. And he is a vegetarian ultra distance runner, which that's a pretty, you know, when you're talking about ultra distances, that's a cool combination. He first started running back in 2002, first marathon. And then 7 years later, he's running even faster and then said, you know what? 26 is not going to do it for me. I need to go do these ultra marathons. And the ultra marathons are distances of like 50 and 100 miles, even further as well. And he also has a great book that's coming out, Marathon Roadmap, The Vegetarian Guide to Completing Your First 26.2. And I think he's also got a half marathon one coming out as well. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
It is a pleasure. And let me ask you, Matt, did you get a chance to do any ultra distance running in Baltimore when you were there?
No, I actually didn't happen to get out for a quick 50-mile or anything during the conference.
Did you do the 5K?
I actually didn't even do that. I was busy preparing my talk for the next day of the conference. So
yeah, doesn't that stink when you have to speak in at these conferences? It kind of makes it, you know, you get into your own little cocoon, and you really, you know, all you're doing is thinking about your speech, and then you really can't connect as much as you'd like. That's how I felt. Until after the fact, and then you feel like, oh, I'm here now. Come play with me.
Right.
Come talk to me. So now, how did you get started first in running?
I actually in college I was really big into weightlifting and stuff like that with some friends, and we were kind of like we weren't big enough to be considered meatheads, but we wanted to be meatheads.
You were wannabes. Now, did you delve into the dark side, Matt? Did you go into the dark side of the meatheadery, like, you know, with the steroids and everything?
No, we didn't. No, we shied away from that. I guess we kind of did it on the.
Is it because you couldn't find any steroids? Is that why?
Well, I guess it would have been pretty hard if we did, but there were some guys in our gym who I had my suspicions about, so I'm sure we could have talked to them.
Yeah,
Now, when...
But anyway...
Do you need a name? Or is that what you're asking us? You're trying to find him.
But anyway, we decided we wanted to lose some fat because we had put on this weight and muscle. And we said, okay, well, let's run a marathon. That's a good way to lose fat because you'd have to be skinny to run a marathon.
Right.
So we did that, and it was a horrible idea because all three of us got hurt in the training for it. We weren't runners at all. But it did kind of make me realize that running marathons is a pretty cool thing for its own sake, not even for, like, fitness or fat loss, just as far as setting goals and doing stuff like that. So I think that's what kind of really got me hooked on it.
So you ran your first marathon, and so the experience wasn't as painful. You were like, you know what, I'm not never going to do this again. You were like, you know what, I'm going to keep doing this, and I think I'm going to have a better experience when I do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, for that day and maybe that week, I said I'm never doing this again. But then, as it kind of happens, you start to forget how much it hurt, and then you want to come back and
you want to do it again.
Do better.
Yeah. I gotcha. Now, when did the vegetarian aspect kick into your life? Now, because typically, whenever I hear a guy becoming a vegetarian, it's typically over a hot chick.
Yeah, there's always
a hot chick attached to this. There's never a guy just
on his own going,
right?
Hey,
it's never meat again. Right. There has to be something that's an incentive, and usually beautiful women will do that to you.
No, I actually convinced my wife to do it, which is kind of funny, I guess.
Whoa.
But yeah, I know. Well, we got a dog, and that was her idea. And then that kind of just struck me as, like, I didn't really want to be eating animals. I don't know. I just kind of felt strange about it. And
so
then,
somehow you connected with, once you had a dog, you were like, you know what?
I can't eat a cow.
I can't.
I have a dog.
Right, because a cow has a tongue, and it's kind of cute, too. So I'm sure you can probably bond to a cow or something like that. So you were like, you know what?
Well,
I'm off meat.
What about, like, what's an ugly animal? Like an aardvark. Can you eat that?
Cause that's armadillo. Armadillo. Yeah, like an armadillo.
They're ugly.
There was a
no, you can't eat the ugly ones either. They're also off limits, unfortunately.
So now, did you go full on vegetarian? Like, you know, like the vegetarian world, they get a little kooky, and I'll tell you how. You know, like, it's like with Judaism. Like, if you say to tell someone, like, you're keeping kosher, you know,
right.
Keeping kosher, it's like for the Orthodox Jews, if you're walking into a restaurant, you're not kosher. So it's like, you know, if you're like, what type of vegetarian are you? Are you everything goes? No eggs, no fish, no, you know,
yeah,
no cheese?
I recently did go all the way vegan, which is where you don't eat anything that comes from animal products. I mean, anything from animals at all. You don't even eat honey.
Honey? You're going? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that's, I don't know. I don't know that I feel any connection to bees, but I kind of just wanted to try it, the full thing, and be like, I'm not going to cut any quarters or anything.
What about, like, bacteria? Because they're living things, too. You know?
There's a lot of
cells that are in living things. So how come those are okay?
You know, I don't know who decided what the classifications are, but I think it comes down to that sort of biology stuff. Where there's the animal kingdom and all these, and then there's, like, the lower things. And those lower things you can eat, but you can't eat animals.
I don't like to judge higher or lower.
That's right.
I don't know who decided those things.
So now, that poses, Matt, quite a challenge to your training in terms of what you eat. Or do you have it – this has become pretty easy for you to manage – and it's really not a challenge for you at all.
It's not a challenge now. It is a challenge in the fact that, I mean, you do have to actually plan what you eat. So, because if you didn't plan and you just got hungry and, you know, you can't eat anything. You can't order pizza if you're vegan. If you're vegetarian, you could, but you don't want to be eating pizza all the time, obviously, if you're marathon training.
Why not?
So it just kind of imposes this requirement that you have to plan. But the interesting thing is that once you do start to do that, then you start actually, or at least in my case, started actually eating much, much better because now I actually was planning instead of just eating whatever was around or whatever was convenient.
Right.
So I found that it helps me, but it's just kind of initially, yes, definitely a challenge.
Now, I will tell you, Matt, there's a lot of people out there that run marathons and that are avid runners and they're running enthusiasts. But when you go into the ultra marathon category, that puts you into a whole nother playing field. That ultra marathon world, that's not a crowded bunch of people. There's not
true.
Of people that are signing up for 50 and 100 mile ultra marathon races. Tell me about how you transition from this world of, like, you know what, I'm going to be a, you know, almost a 5 hour marathoner to now a sub, pretty close to a sub 3 hour marathoner to now I'm going to run ultra marathons. That's quite a that's quite a feat to do that in less than, 10 years is pretty amazing.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you. I think the biggest thing, the very first thing was just to stop getting injured, because so many people who run marathons and halves, they just kind of struggle through the training, and like they're always in pain and they don't really know what to do about it, so they just kind of keep running or maybe take some time off, and then keep doing the same things and get hurt again. And it's just like a constant struggle. So, I mean, the first step is really getting past that and learning how to train right, and learning even like down to like your form when you're running, so that you're not putting this tremendous stress on your body every time you run. So, I mean, that was a huge first step.
What were the key elements to that you're talking about, trying not to get injured and trying to change your form? What were some of the key elements for you that made the biggest difference for you that you were able to stay injury free and to mm-hmm. what if you had some advice to give to some of our listeners, what would that consist for you?
The first thing I would say is when you go out for a run, think about what the purpose of this run is going to be. Don't just go out there and run at like this kind of moderate intensity that's right in the middle where it's not really too hard and it's not too easy. You'll get far better results if you make half of your runs dedicated like a speed workout or a hill workout where you're really working hard for 20 or 30 minutes, and then make the other half of your runs in between those workouts, make those really, really easy runs, like 2 minutes slower than you probably could run a mile, make that your mile pace. And, it should be so easy that you're worried about how stupid you look running this slow.
Wow.
So give your body those ups and downs, and like, so you stress it and then you give it a chance to recover, rather than doing this, what people call this junk mileage, where it's the same thing all the time.
The same speed, the same thing every day in, day out.
Right.
I see.
So there's planning
there. The
other
thing I would say.
You're planning your food. Now you're planning your running. You like to plan.
Organized. You're very organized.
Yeah, I guess so. My wife doesn't think that I'm very organized at all.
Uh-oh. She must be OCD then. She must be OCD on the organized stuff.
Well, you said it. I didn't say it.
Don't tell me that in the cabinets there's little labels and everything has a certain place and you can't move it out of the way. Is that anything?
No. We don't go that far.
I gotcha. So now, going from running, and doing going to the ultramarathons, I'm interested to hearing about your experience with the ultramarathons. We've had a couple of famous ultra distance guys, Chris Berglund and Dean Karnazes, who have done that stuff where mm-hmm. they run in excess of 200 miles at a time. Tell me about your first experience with getting up into that mileage area. What did that feel like, and the recovery that went into doing that type of distance?
Yeah, so it actually isn't all that different from running a marathon. There's the difference that a lot of these races are on trails. So you do have to learn how to do that.
That's kind of fun, though. The trails are actually kind of nice.
It is fun. It definitely takes some of the monotony out of it.
Right.
And it also, when you run 20 or 30 miles on a road, your legs are really feeling it by the end of that. Not because your muscles are sore, but just, your feet are just killing you from pounding on that road.
Right.
So, simply getting out there on trails will change that. And it also makes you, every step is different on trails. One might be stepping on a route and pushing off to get up a little hill. It's much less of this monotonous pounding. So,
sure.
I mean, right away, that eliminates the stress. It's harder work in some sense. You have to be stronger for it, but it does eliminate some of that stress in your body.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of start gradually increasing. So for a marathon, while you maybe went up to 20 miles, you'll go up instead to around almost 30 miles or so for a 50-miler. But you don't really need to run that much more than 30 miles to run a 50-miler. You just kind of do that much and then trust that you can do it.
Right, so you get into that mental world of like, man, because I see the, hitting like 35 or 36 mile mark and going, you're kidding me. I've got another 14 left or whatever the math is to do that. It's crazy.
That absolutely is. That's kind of like the no man's land in that between mile 30 and 40. Once you're at 40, you're like, 10 miles left.
It's better if you don't do many math, right? If you can't count very well.
Right. You want to stay away from numbers and you want to stay away from knowing where you are as much as possible, probably. Now,
that's true.
What about any experiences with animals that can attack you when you're in the trails and stuff like that? Have you had any experiences like, I think I hear a bear?
I haven't had anything like that, luckily.
Now, do you carry any weapons? Do you carry any weapons with you just in case? Anything that you have to protect yourself?
No, I guess I don't. But again, I think I've heard of people like carrying mace and that kind of stuff in case bears attack. I guess where I run, it's not much of an issue.
Or do you just run with slower people?
So yeah, that's really all you need to do is run with slower people.
That's the other trick, right?
So now you came up with the marathon, the roadmap, the book, and also the half marathon as well. For the vegetarians, tell us a little about the book and what's in there for people to learn.
Okay, so they're both. Earlier this year, I released this marathon roadmap off my site, which is called nomeatathlete.com. And the first one, the marathon roadmap, was basically the subtitle is a vegetarian guide to conquering your first 26.2. So it's basically for anybody who's never run a marathon before, or even somebody who maybe has done it before, but for whatever reason now wants to be a vegetarian or vegan and is wondering, you know, can I still do this? Because that's what I was wondering when I went vegetarian. I wasn't sure if it would prevent me from training like I had.
Right.
So it's a guide to doing that in either one of those, the first time in either sense. And then the half marathon roadmap is kind of a similar book that I'll be releasing actually next week.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming out next week. Oh, that's great.
The half marathon version, yeah.
And what about the one for the ultra distance? I want that one. That's the one I'm looking for. How do you do this for 50?
I've heard some people ask about that. You know, that's something I might work on. There's just starting to become, you know, to get some books out there that are about ultra marathon running. Until recently, there hasn't really been much. But the guy from irunfar.com, I think, I forget his name, but he just released a book about how to do your first ultra marathon.
I see.
Now, what's your go-to, like, protein and carb?
Yeah. Don't tell me pastrami. So, don't say pastrami, because we're on to you.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's all kinds of soy pastrami if you want that. You can get soy anything
now. Oh, now, can you do that? Can you go, is that part of the...
Soy is an animal?
No, it's not.
Yeah, soy is a plant, and they can make it into any shape you want, and it pretty much make it taste like anything you want. It's never quite the same. And it's also, I mean, it's not a source that I would recommend relying on, because some people say it kind of has some bad effects also. And you just don't want any one source of food to dominate your diet. So,
right.
For proteins, I mean, I'm usually eating just never like a huge protein meal, but like I'll make sure I have beans or nuts, sometimes soy. Hemp protein is a good one. Hemp seeds can be ground into a powder, so that's the protein powder that I'll put in smoothies and whatever else.
Now, Matt, do you ever like, man, I need to get
a burger,
or you ever crave like ice cream or something like, you know, like you're like, you know, when you were a kid that you had and it was your favorite. I mean, you ever get those to those places where you're like, man, I have got to hit McDonald's.
You know what? At first there was some of that. Like I used to love like pork barbecue. I went like with a friend from college. We drove 7 hours in the night to go get the barbecue sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Passionate. Like right. You had passion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I did miss that because you can eat barbecue made out of whatever else, soy or wheat, but it's not the same, of course. But I just kind of got to the point where it was like, you do kind of get over those cravings. You kind of just forget what it does taste like. And then, you know, I can still dump vinegar and barbecue sauce on French fries or whatever I want. I mean, any kind of junk food if I really am in that kind of mood.
So you
and
have
then,
your you have ways
later once you're full.
Right. So you have but ways of getting around, like you have ways of kind of getting the same taste, but you apply it to other food.
Yeah, and then once the meal's over and I'm full, I'm just much happier that I didn't, you know, obviously didn't just stay with what kind of what I believe in and all that.
I gotcha. So there's no more 7 hour midnight rides to you know,
to the pork palace.
To the pork palace. You're not doing that anymore.
No, or maybe I would be like the wingman.
What about
that kind of trip?
Oh, so your buddy still calls you up and goes, "Hey, listen, dude, we got to hit the pork palace. I know you can't eat it, but you got to come with me." And you're like, "All right, I'll go."
You drive because I'll be in a meat coma shortly, and I needed somebody to drive me.
So what's the future, Matt? What do you feel? How
far can you run? What are we going for, 100, 200,
definitely.
500?
If he's done 50, he's definitely, in his head, I can tell you right now, he's shooting at a high. He's going for Western states, right? You're going for the Western states?
Western states would be amazing. That's 100 miles that I'm definitely not able to run yet. I'll do an easier 100-miler before that. And there are there are 100 miles that are hard, and there are 100 miles that are, believe it or not, are considered easy.
What, Matt, what about the Badwater? Are any aspirations doing the Badwater?
I don't know. That would be cool, but
that's a whole other level, right?
Yeah, like they run on the white lines.
White lines, right?
Yeah.
You have to run on the Death Valley.
Or it melts your shoes.
Melts your shoes. You know, it stay on this line, or you got problems with your shoes. That's
and the rattlesnakes at night that go across the road.
That takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah, once it becomes like a survival game risk, I don't know how that doesn't really sound like my kind of running. Recreational.
Why don't you go to Mount Everest and just go straight downhill? How about that? Right. That can't be that hard.
Right. When there's a potential for death, that's where you kind of draw the line. You say, you know what?
Right, exactly.
I like to run, but
not that much.
Not that much. So, so I can see that. So, more ultra distance running for you as well. And tell us about the process of writing the book. Was that are there a lot of anecdotes in the book about here? This is what you don't want to do. This is what I did. Don't do this.
There are a lot of that because I truly did. You know, I took about 100 minutes off of my marathon time from my very first one to the time I actually qualified for Boston. So I pretty much was doing everything wrong at the beginning and then always getting hurt, and really did learn through the process of 6 or 7 marathons of just how to do it, how to train, some of which is probably just works for me and some of which are more universal things that will apply to everybody. So, you know, kind of having been in both places, I think I do have a lot to share about.
Now, is your wife involved with running with you as well, or is she that's your deal, buddy? You do that by yourself?
She's done 3 marathons, and I don't know if she'll ever get into any ultras, but she's always really supportive. She just loves being there at the race for me, which is amazing.
No, that's just what she says. That's not true, but we'll go with that.
No, she really... Before the Vermont 50-miler, she actually was not going to come because we have our son, and she was just going to stay home with him and play it low-key. And then the actual morning that I left to go up there, she decided that she also had to come. So she actually drove separately behind me and my friends who I carpooled with and came up there.
Now, what about the dogs?
Yeah, that was cool.
Did the dogs run with you as well?
Not for 50 miles.
The dogs are good. They're good for about 6 miles or so sometimes.
What do they do?
They pass out. He has to drag them.
How do you know the dogs are only good for 6? Do they say something to you?
They just lie down.
They're down.
Oh, they just lie down.
They're like
me. They pretty much just collapse. Yeah.
That's how I am. Oh, yeah. After like 1K, I'm like taking a nap. I'm pulling over.
Yeah, right. That's
curl up in a ball under the shade.
So they just collapse to the side and they're like, you know what? We're done with this. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're not very good at running. Animals aren't. I think there are dogs who run like 20 miles or something, but in general, animals aren't as good as humans are at running longer distances.
Yeah,
they like the barefoot running. The dogs.
Yeah, they're at the Vibram four fingers. Right. They like
five
those. Well, not for the dogs.
Dogs have 4 fingers.
Matt, also you are just about finishing up with your PhD in applied math. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Now, so you're going to be a doctor pretty soon.
That's what doctors get applied.
Well, yeah, I will be that kind of
be
doctor.
Dr. Frazier. It'll be like the show, Dr. Frazier. Mm-hmm. Now,
exactly.
How has math or your fondness for math, has it helped you in
obviously
in running
and compartmentalizes everything?
Has that helped you a lot?
Actually, when I run, I think it's sort of an escape from all that because when I run, a lot of times I don't bring a watch and I don't. I don't always like to bring an iPod or heart rate monitor. You know, I don't like to get all wired up to run.
Right. You don't like everything. All that data and stuff. So interesting.
What are you thinking about? Like, you get out there and a mile goes by. So what's going through your head?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like you guys mentioned earlier, I really do try to avoid any sort of, like, numbers in my head because that will drive you crazy when you're running even a marathon. You can just get in your own head and go.
It drives me crazy if I run a quarter mile. I start counting the seconds when the thing's going to be over.
Right. So I think what I do is when I'm really getting tired, I start to just look at the time to the next aid station. And in an ultra marathon, they're often spaced 5 or 6 miles apart. So you just sort of break it down to that, and you really convince yourself that you're done when you get to that point. And then once you get there, you kind of realize you lied to yourself and you have to do that again now. You kind of just convince you trick yourself into thinking that's what you have to do.
So you got to lie to yourself. That's in your book, Lie to Yourself? Is that in there?
Yeah.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate you coming on today. It is the website is called nomeatathlete.com. The book is Marathon Roadmap.
And he likes to meet people.
The Vegetarian Guide. The Vegetarian Guide to Completing Your First 26.2. And also, soon to be out will be the half marathon as well. I'm sorry, Lee. What were you saying as I was trying to read the tone about the book?
He likes to meet people.
He likes to meet people.
It's not that kind of meet.
That's right.
So people don't want to get confused.
Matt, well, listen, when the next book comes out, please give us a call. We'd love to get you back on the show, and please stay in touch with us.
Just run over here one day.
Yeah, run from Maryland to Atlanta.
Okay, yeah, right.
How far is it?
There's some great trails here, Matt. Great stuff here. So we'd love to get you on the show. Listen,
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
It was a pleasure having you on, and please stay in touch. We'd love to have you back on.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
That is Matt Frazier. He is with No Meat Athlete. That is his website. The vegetarian long-distance, ultra-distance marathon runner. Cool guy and good stuff. You can check him out at nomeatathlete.com. Also, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book. Not so new, but pretty new. It is called 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. And you can get that on our website. You can also go to our Facebook page. Become one of our friends. We're always giving away stuff on our Facebook Facebook page. You can comment there as well. And follow us at Twitter at DrFitness6 and at FatGuy as well. Lee, I don't know if you know this. Yeah, I know we have our next guest on, but I want to talk to you a bit. Did you hear what's going on with my local hero, Lance Armstrong?
We're still pretending that he's not.
Well, it looks like the pretending's over. It looks like the cat's out of the bag. Well, that's what it seems as though right now.
First the rapture, then this.
And it wasn't that 60 Minutes thing with Tyler Hamilton, because you can't really trust what he's saying, or Floyd Landis, those guys.
Don't trust the half dozen athletes that have come forward.
Well, the one that really was damaging was the fact of George Hincampy, who was one of his best friends. And so that looks like there's testimony to show that he has proof that there is. So I'm bummed out. You know, I thought was the greatest sports story ever. So I really don't know. I don't want to – until – I have further evidence, but I'm going with...
What do you need? What else do you need?
I need to see the syringe.
With fingerprints?
But I'm really bummed out because I really thought that this story with Lance Armstrong recovering from cancer and becoming, you know, the spokesperson for cancer and recovery, I thought this was the greatest sports story of our generation.
It was just not a fact story. It was fiction story.
It was a fiction story. It really wasn't a true story.
If it was started with Once Upon a Time, it would have been great.
But I'm really bummed out about this, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I used to be such a Lance hero. I got to find another. Well, I always got Springsteen.
What about A-Rod?
Springsteen will always stay there.
A-Rod.
Forget about sports guys. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Okay, let's bring on our next guest. I am very excited to bring on Seth Goldman. He is with us. He is the CEO of Honest Tea. Now, Honest Tea, Lee, Honest Tea's been around for a while, right? It's been around for almost 10 years, maybe longer than 10 years. Just say yes.
13 years.
See that? That's good we included him at some point.
I remember when it first came out, and Lee, you know I'm passionate about tea. I have my thoughts about tea, and you know that I take tea seriously. And what did I tell
you
about
iced tea? You like iced tea, not
right?
Not tea.
I like iced tea. What did I tell you about what my new favorite drink is?
The Honest Tea, some half and half of
that
something.
Half iced tea, half lemonade. So
it's the lightly sweetened.
Yes, and you know how I feel about lightly sweet drinks.
And it's got to be real sweetener.
And this guy, Seth Goldman,
he broke the code.
This is the what was that movie with? Da Vinci Code? That's what it was. Yeah, he broke the code. Seth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Great to be with you guys.
Seth, you've got quite a story. I will tell you that it's an amazing story.
He's the third guy from Yale that's come in here with the tea product. Weird.
Is that right?
No.
No.
We don't get anybody from Yale here.
Seth, now, a very interesting story how you came about in terms of founding Honest Tea with your professor. It sounded like a Tuesdays with Maury story, and and it seemed like you know, you were going in a different path, and then kind of made a turn and said, you know what, I'm gonna create this product, and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be consistent with my message and my philosophy on life, and you seem to really combined all those things, and it's a success story. So how did you do it?
Well, it started with the fact that we were thirsty. You know, we really were. It felt like there just weren't drinks out there that quenched the thirst we had. And you know, it's funny. Whenever I tell it, it sounds just as you two were talking. It was very characteristic of what I heard other people saying, that, you know, I just don't like all that sugar in my drink. And so back in 1997 when I I certainly felt that way. And the more I talked to people, the more I kept hearing other people say that. I'm like, this is wild. All these people feel like there's too much sweetener in their drink, and nobody's done anything about it.
Now, why not just dilute it? Why not just – because that's what I did. For instance, my favorite drink was Snapple peach iced tea. And I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's too sweet. I'll just dilute it more.
It's a little challenging to do if you're on the go or for convenience. So that's certainly as a starting point. That's certainly the idea behind it. But if you're at a deli or wherever and you're buying it, you know, that's not exactly the easiest thing to do. But then from there, you know, so the founding idea was around a less sweet drink. And then the more we looked at both the bottled tea industry and what was going on, we realized that most of the bottled tea on the market wasn't really tea. We could talk about the orange juice industry and everyone's selling Tang. You know, they were using powders and syrups and mixing it with water and calling it tea. And it didn't have the real taste of tea. It didn't have the health properties of tea. And as a result, because they were using a much lower quality product, it had a much harsher taste, and as a result, they had to sweeten it up a lot to make the taste workable. And then, you know, a few years later, everyone's sort of looking. We got an obesity crisis in this country, and one of the places where people are getting a lot of their calories from is from bottled beverages.
Now, are you having this conversation in your head, like, you know what, this is like – this is an injustice. Like, it sounds like this, you know, this
no,
is...
No, it really did start with the fact that my bladder drove this more than anything. It was like, you know what, I'm thirsty and there's nothing here that...
that you can find that's going to be worthwhile your taste buds.
Are you making test batches in your kitchen?
Yeah, we were. So we were making product in our kitchen, and what we found is some of the varieties worked well with a little sweetener, very minimal sweeteners. Others, you know, needed more, and so... We started by making, this is my co-founder Barry and I, making enough different varieties that we felt there was something that sort of satisfied our thirst that worked without a lot of sweetener.
And then
we just kept, you know, refining that.
Now, this is interesting to me only because you're a smart guy. You went to Yale. You went to Harvard. You're around smart other smart people. But I didn't see anything like you're not like a chemistry major. You're not like you're not like or it's not like a laboratory you have. You're like a bright guy. But I'm like, how are you putting this together?
Well, that's the funny thing about it. No, I had zero beverage experience except for the fact that I drank beverages, which I would safe to assume most people I can claim that qualification. But you know, at its heart, it's a pretty basic business, right? You're taking tea leaves, you're putting them in water, and you're sweetening them. So it wasn't something that, we weren't launching a, you know, biotechnology company here. We were just, you know, so we were able to learn, break these things down into pretty basic components. Okay, well, you need to find a place to get tea leaves. You need to find a place to buy glass. And you need a production facility. So there's a lot of hard work that went on between that thought and actually making it into a business, but it wasn't, you know, one of our strengths going into this was that we weren't from the beverage industry, so we didn't sort of go to the quick and easy solutions that most beverage companies do.
Right. So now you come up with a batch that you kind of like, or you probably really like, and you're like, you know what, we got a couple of flavors here we really like. And so now how do you put this together to go in front of Whole Foods and say, hey, I'm going to bring this in and check this out. What do you think?
Yeah, we made five batches, put them in different varieties, put them in thermoses, and had an empty, an empty Snapple bottle we had put a label on. and we brought that to, we got an appointment at the local Whole Foods buying office. So they were responsible for 17 stores here in we're based in Rockville, you know, we're based in Bethesda, Maryland, but it was just up the street in Rockville, Maryland. And went to the buyer and said, here's, we first had looked at all the products on his shelf and said, here's all the beverages you have and showed them. They're all really in the 80 to 120 calories per serving.
Right.
And then you've got a whole bunch of watery drinks that have no sugar, no flavor. And we want to offer you this product, Honesty, which is unlike anything you have, and it's right in in a different spot. And so he agreed and recognized there was a part of the beverage shelf that we were addressing that was. Then the question is, well, are people going to buy it? And so he was willing to try it. He was willing to put it on the shelf, but it wasn't at all clear that consumers would be interested in it.
Right, and then of course they were. Because they were buying it.
They were, but it wasn't an overnight thing. I mean, obviously, what's exciting about your show and so many others now is that people's, health consciousness has been raised, and they are reading labels more. But back in 1998,
right,
it was a different world.
Exactly.
Easy to forget that now.
Yeah, it was different. And I'll tell you, and to find the lightly sweetened drinks and to combine the flavor and to also probably find the space on shelves, I'm sure that had to be a very difficult journey
to
get space in Whole Foods or anywhere.
it is a very tough business. It's basically a real estate battle that is fought on a daily basis because the products sell through, and so every day that battle has to be fought anew. You have to go out and protect your shelf space, and we were very fortunate that we had consumers who were, from the earliest time, who were loyal. We did tons of sampling in the beginning. We got people liking the product, and they would go to the store, and if they didn't see it, the stores would hear about it. They'd say, where's that Honest Tea? I like that. And so the stores we got our consumers to train the stores to protect our shelf space.
Well, something happened recently. Something big happened with Honest Tea, because I will tell you, that I've been following you guys for a long time, but something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the plastic bottle, but somehow I got a hold of a whole nother world of Honest Tea, and it was the half tea, half lemonade. It was the mango. It was the pomegranate blue, and then I'm like, holy smoke, something's going on here at Honest Tea. I don't know what's going on here, but they've been
seeing it. You're seeing it in more places, is that right?
Yeah, I was seeing it in places like Publix, and I was seeing it in places like Kroger. And
I'll tell you what happened. First of all, I'm glad to hear that because it is it has been such a struggle to get the shelf space. And earlier this year, we sold the company to Coca-Cola, and so what's happened is that our product is now getting distributed all around the country in a way that we dreamed about 13 years ago, but we, to be honest, didn't have a way to make happen. So for me, this has always been about making healthy organic drinks available to a wider audience, and so the fact that you're able to see it, the product in stores like Publix and CVS and other stores where we just hadn't been before helps confirm for me that this is what we hoped would happen.
Right.
But now you have a really clever name, Honest Tea, obviously Honest Tea, and it's kind of a healthy product. Do you feel kind of constrained by that now you're stuck with only tea products?
No, that's not constrained for us. That has always been about wanting to create something that's authentic, organic, and if anything, it's a good protection to make sure that we won't do something or should the brand end up in other hands, it won't be made into something that isn't what it stands for. So, we were the first to make organic bottled tea. We've always been committed to lower calorie drinks, and those are that's part of what we think is an honest product, and so. Especially where you look at a company like Coca-Cola, which has gone through their whole learning experience around New Coke, where they tried to make reinvent a product that had already been popular. We're confident that
there's not going to be a new Honest Tea. There's not going to be the Honest Tea Classic.
The new Honest Tea, the Dishonest Tea. Yeah, no, that's
Dishonest Tea. I like that. That's a good one.
No, not from us.
Now, Seth, are you constantly working on new products? I know recently some of the first original ones are no longer in production, and now you've come up with different ones. And I will tell you that the ones that you've come up with, this half tea, half lemonade, I don't know who did this, but this is magic. Magic.
Well, thank
this
you.
Is my favorite drink. You have surpassed Snapple. Snapple is now, it's half tea, half lemonade. But I will tell you, I don't know what's going on with the distributors. I don't know if they're teasing me, but they put out just enough for me to buy like 12 or 15 bottles at a time, and then I have to wait a month to get another 12 or 15?
You have to do what our consumers did early on. You have to train the store. They have to understand, I've got this guy who's I'm going to hear from if I don't have it on the shelf. And really, we're still such a small company that, you know, that kind of support from consumers is more powerful than anything we could do. We're too small. We can't be on all the shelves where...
Seth, it means, you know, I'm going to have to go Jersey style down here in the South. I'm going to have to
Don't be afraid to demand your rights.
I'm going to have to do it
for the tea. But no, it's neat that I'm really glad to hear that. The Hefty Lemonade we just brought out last year. That's been getting a great response, and we just brought a new product out this year, which is a zero calorie lemonade made with organic stevia.
Now, how are you doing with that? Because I know that's kind of, I know that originally you wanted to make sure that you weren't using the high fructose corn syrup, but you're using stevia. So you're not getting into the aspartame, you're not getting into the sucralose area.
Yeah.
That's a big thing
so
for you.
Really,
you want to make it healthy.
It's one of the first organic beverages, sweetened with stevia organically. And this, what's funny about this, you know, we've been making tea for 13 years, and my wife has been a loyal consumer, and all of a sudden this lemonade is all she drinks, and she's going through a few cases a week, and I said, wait a minute, what about the tea? So it's surprising how quickly this new variety is catching on. I just read this morning we just won a food award from Health Magazine, so we're just getting a lot of for that lemonade. So it's really getting a lot of.
I love the campaign that you have on your website, which I think is fantastic. Lee, they have a campaign where they go into each city, and they put the Honest Tea out, and they put a thing to put a dollar in. They make each bottle a dollar, and they see. Like, who's honest? Like, there's nobody working the stands, and they have, like, remote cameras.
It's like a lemonade stand.
And then they measure and then they measure the honesty of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta came in, I think, at 89%. But that's really a great idea. Really cool stuff. I think that's a fantastic marketing campaign. Seems like
we've been having a lot of fun. You know, our marketing is very different than most companies, so we do things differently. We actually, just last month, we released our first official rap video. If you go to justdrinkorganic.com, you can view it there, and I'm in it, so it's not...
Well, Seth, this brings me to a moment where I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think I've got a great commercial for you guys to run. Tell me what you think of this. You've got Elliot Spitzer, Charlie Sheen, and Arnold Schwarzenegger together.
Well, it sounds like you and Lance Armstrong might work too.
Yeah, maybe even now. Right, now I may have to bring Lance Armstrong into this commercial too. And you have Elliot Spitzer, and he's sitting down. And Elliot Spitzer, since his story came out like last year, it's not really a big deal. But they're all sitting down, and, you know, Charlie Sheen walks in, and, you know, of course, is winning. He's like, come on, really? Are you really winning, Charlie? And then all of a sudden they start drinking the Honest Tea. And then who walks in? The governor. And he's all sweating, and they're like, Governor, you look a little thirsty. And then in the background you have on the Billy Joel Honesty song, Lee. What do you think of that?
I think you should stick to your doctoring.
You think I should stick to my doctor job? I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
I think that's fun. I think there's something there.
I think there's something there. I don't know. Maybe Trump might, you know, next year for the Celebrity Apprentice, maybe they may pull out an Honesty.
The Honesty is a lie detector.
Yeah, exactly.
Make you honest.
Well, it's a great product, Seth. I think you're doing great, great work, and I am so fortunate. Please, whatever they do, the reason why I'm having you on the show today is because I don't want them to pull that half tea, half lemonade off the market. I need that on forever. That stuff is really good, and a lot of your other products are really good. I haven't tried the limeade yet. I'm interested in checking that out. That has not hit my stores yet, but I'm sure that's going to be.
Yeah, that one isn't in distribution yet in the South, so hopefully it'll get there. But the lemonade is. Do seek that out because that one's getting a great response.
Well, you're onto something here, and continued success, and we'd love to have you back on the show. Let us know about the new flavors, anything that comes out. Use Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy as your platform to getting out new products, right, Lee?
That sounds fun. Yeah, I'd love to.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Have a great day, Seth. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.
That is Seth Goldman. He is the CEO of Honest Tea. Go check them out at honesttea.com. And if you go check them out on Twitter, at Honest Tea as well. I've checked them out there as well.
And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
Do you
at
follow him?
DrFitnessandTheFatGuy.com. I don't follow him. I follow Honest T.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, follow them.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a cool product. I love it. Nice. And I'm sure you're a big supporter of them pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Right? They're part of the Coke family.
Exactly.
You're a big Coke family guy.
Yes. But I wish they used that high fructose corn syrup that I like so much. I think they're missing out.
You're missing out when you take away that high fructose corn syrup. Yeah. Listen, you can be like our buddy Matt. He doesn't even have any honey. He won't even have honey.
Well,
look at that.
You know what? Not everybody can be Lance Armstrong and be pure like that.
That's right. You can't. Not everyone can do that. All right, Lee, let's bring in our final guest. I'm excited to talk with Shelley Woodworth. She is with Vail Valley Foundation, who is putting on the Teva Mountain Games June 2nd to June 5th. Lee, you know how excited we are about these mountain games, things that are out there where people are not just doing 5Ks, they're doing lots of events.
Those are for old people.
Yeah, and apparently, I didn't realize this, Lee, but it looks like the Teva Mountain Games has been around for quite a bit of time. I thought they just came out, but apparently not. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is quite a pleasure. Now, Shelley, tell us about these Teva Mountain Games. What, first of all, are – what can we expect? If let's say, Dr. Fitness, the fact I flew in – next week, we drop down. What events would there be for us to do?
We should just parachute out of
a
helicopter.
Parachute out of a helicopter, and land
That sounds fun. We used to actually do a little paragliding thing over here, but we don't do that anymore.
Uh-oh, something must have happened.
Maybe you can reinstitute it. Bring it up. Bring it up.
Yeah. Did something happen, Shelley? Did somebody get hurt?
No, nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's well, Teva Mountain Games has been around about 10 years. You are very, very late to the party, sir.
Right. I feel terrible now.
But we've got so many different we call it just a big outdoor festival, a celebration of the mountain lifestyle in the Rocky Mountains. And so we've got biking, we've got running, a lot of whitewater events. We've got bouldering, which is a form of climbing without the ropes.
We've got
dog competitions. We've got you name it. It's a lot of fun.
And so there's obviously running and biking and stuff like that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got professional – I would say the beauty of the mountain games is that you can be an amateur and go shoulder to shoulder with some of the top professionals in the country and in certain cases even in the world in your sport. So we've got professional bikers that are here, but they're competing alongside amateur bikers, weekend warriors, and things like that. So it's really an amazing thing, a lot of fun.
And this, and also there's you're combining this with the music and the arts as well.
That's right. We kind of, you know, our four things are athletes, art, music, and mountains. And so we really try to consider ourselves a celebration of the whole mountain lifestyle and not just sports, not just adventure sports. And so we've got two free concerts that we do. We kick off on Thursday night with the Dirty Heads. And then on Saturday night, we've got Xavier Rudd coming in from Australia, although he's on tour. I don't think he's coming straight from Australia. And so we do free concerts. We do outdoor film series where we have Teva and Eddie Bauer and C4 Waterman, who makes the stand-up paddleboards. They all have submitted films that we show, and they're all about the outdoor lifestyle and different personalities and things of people getting out there and getting after it. And then we also, there's just a lot of art around Vail and Vail Village, and so we try to draw our attention, try to draw people's attention to going and enjoying the art that is around Vail and just being outside.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing thing. Now, the event goes from June 2nd to June 5th. Now,
that's right.
Is it can you enter in more than one event? Can you enter in all the events? Like, and I know there's prize money, right? This is not you can make some serious cash doing this.
That's right. There's about $100,000 in total prize money available for all of the contests. You can enter in. Well, I don't know. I would say our biggest hardcore athletes enter in the Ultimate Mountain Challenge, and this is four events. It's road biking, mountain biking, a downriver sprint, which is most people do it on a kayak,
Ooh.
And then a road bike time trial, which is a road race where you actually climb up Vail Pass, and it ends at 10,000 feet in elevation.
The fat guy asked me off the air before, I wanted to know if there's a fat guy wet t-shirt contest. Is that anything, any events like that planned for the weekend?
I probably recommend the fat guy participate in the Eddie Bauer Mud Run, which is a five. We say 5K, but we put quotes around when we say 5K because it's not really not really 5K. So it might be up the fat guy's alley. But you you start off, and then everyone, you know, you jump over hay bales, and it's a mass start. People are in costume. It's a lot of fun. And then at the very end, we make you commando style through a 30-foot mud pit. So
whoa,
it's
commando really style. That's what we're talking about. Nice. You love that. That sounds like
I
fun.
I was just shooting for the free concert.
That's about my speed as well.
Now, Shelley, how many people attend in terms of people that participate and then people that actually just probably – I'm sure there's a lot of people that – spectators that come out just to, you know, be around this.
Just to be it, yeah. We expect about 40,000 people over the 4 days.
Whoa.
And this has evolved. Like I said, it's a 10-year thing. It really started out as a whitewater festival in a way for kind of some of the local river rats here in Vail to kick off the summer season. And it's really evolved to include all these other sports. So we expect about 40,000 people to come in and watch the event over the 4 days. And then we have around 22 to 2,500 athletes that participate. And that's anywhere from, you know, mom and pop doing the mud run to our people running the half marathon up Vail Pass. So it's all levels of athletes doing that.
That's great. So you guys have been around for 10 years, and it seems like it's growing and growing. When did Teva come aboard as the sponsor for the event?
Teva came aboard, I believe, about 8 years ago. So they've been in on it for a long time, and yeah, they're really, you know, they've always embraced, of course, the water sports, and then now they're moving a lot into biking and moving. I don't want to say away from sandals, they're not, but they actually do so many different types of shoes and things. So this is just the perfect event for them to be participating in, and of course, we're so happy to have them. Here because they've really elevated it to a new level as well. And then in the winter, we're actually starting a new one, and you're not late to that party at all.
Oh, awesome.
In February, we're doing the Teva Winter Mountain Games.
Oh, nice. So that must be like tobogganing, that, you know.
We'll have snowshoeing. We'll have skinning, which is when you put the skins on the bottom of your skis and you hike up the mountain and then you turn around and you ski down. We'll definitely have some dog events. We'll even have bike events in the snow. So that'll be in February.
Snowman making? Is there a snowball fight or snowman making?
Yeah, we definitely want to do something fun like that. You know, we really pride ourselves on being a well-rounded event and the family coming out. So there have been a lot of talk of igloo contests and
snow angel contests.
I'm
an expert in snow angels because I can get deep into the snow. I can get deeper in the snow than most other people, so I can do those really good. It's more three-dimensional.
And your angel is really wide.
Yes, that's right. It's very wide.
But I have short, stubby arms, so it's a little.
We'll also have a whole bunch of things with rescue dogs and things like that, because the dog culture is really, really big here in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, we won't be taking part in that. We hate the cold. So.
No, we will. We will. I will. I'm going to come out to
we'll
that. I love it. Yeah, we'll see you back next year for June. Now, do a lot of people come from out of town also for the event? Is this mostly a local event, or is there a lot of people that come from all over the place to participate?
Right. Well, we're located about 2 hours from Denver, about an hour and a half or 2 hours from the whole Denver and Boulder metro area. So I would say the majority of our people drive up for the weekend from those areas. But we've got people that come in from all around the country for it. Absolutely.
Sounds great. Well, Shelley, sounds like I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you. It's the Teva. And if people want to find out more about it, they can go to TevaMountainGames.com, correct?
That's right.
And they can find out more about the event there. And it sounds like just even if you don't want to participate, just come out and hang out and listen to the music and chill out. Maybe next year you'll join Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy there, right?
That's right. We've got a ton. I failed to mention that we've got all this expo area. I mean, we've got dozens and dozens of retailers that have come in and bring all the latest gear.
Oh,
cool.
So
you really need to come with an empty bag because you walk away with a bunch of free stuff.
How awesome is that? So there's like an expo and lots of companies are just demonstrating their stuff that's going to be their next season's models and stuff like that and all that good stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And do you have to pay anything just to go to the expo?
No, everything in the Mountain Games is free except for when you compete, and the competitions are very, very affordable.
Wow.
Awesome.
What a great event.
Sounds awesome. Shelley, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on our show today. And we definitely want to follow back up, and we definitely want to talk about the Winter Games because that sounds like a lot of fun. So we definitely want to bring you back on the show.
Well, I appreciate your having me.
Well, thank you so much. Again, that's Teva mountaingames.com. Thank you so much, Shelley. We'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
That is Shelley Woodworth. She is with TavaMountainGames.com. Check them out. I can't wait to go to this thing next year. This has my name written all over it. It's in Vail. I've never been to Vail.
You love bouldering.
No, you know what they have? The thing I'm going to definitely do, Lee, it's I'm going to buy
stand-up paddle boards.
I'm definitely going to get one.
Nice.
Going to use that. I'm going to train all winter long, and I'm going to go next year for Vail, June 2nd to June 5th. Check that out. Make sure when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our Facebook page. Check out our Twitter at Fat Guy and at Dr. Fitness 6. I was a little bit late to the party with that as well, hence the 6 in Dr. Fitness. Lee, before we go, this month's issue of Outside Magazine, there is a great, great article. I want everyone to go read it because it's really interesting. About this guy, he's actually got a book coming out very soon. It'll be coming out. It'll be published by Counterpoint, and it's a book. It's called The Doper Next Door, My Strange and Scandalous Year on Performance-Enhancing Drugs. This guy was a biker, an amateur biker, and decided to take human growth hormone for a year.
Yes.
And compete just as an amateur and to describe his, you know, he wasn't like he blew up the events, but he did a lot better and he did compete. And
so it works. It's an endorsement.
Well,
that's
no,
a great story.
It's,
that's
no,
good.
It's an interesting story.
Rags to riches.
It's an interesting story because it talks about the underculture. If you think that in amateur cycling or amateur racing, people aren't doing stuff, they are. They're doing stuff. There's a subpopulation, a subculture out there that's getting involved in this. And I think the story was done to bring light to that. And it's kind of sad if you're an amateur and you're having to do this kind of stuff. It's that tells you what's going on. Imagine the kids, what the kids are up to. If you think adults are doing this stuff, think what the kids are doing.
I think that in my kids' T-ball, they were juicing.
They might be. That's what it's coming down to, you know? So unfortunate stuff. Anyway, that's our show for today. Want to thank all of our guests. Great show today. We want to thank Matt Frazier.
NoMeatAthlete.com.
Want to thank Seth Goldman with HonestTea.com. And I want to thank Shelley Woodworth with TavaMountainGames.com. And also we want to wish all of our listeners out there a very safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. You got anything going on, Lee?
Yeah, my dad's coming tomorrow.
Oh, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to do the training for the Tava Mountain Games.
For Lee Kander, I am Dr. Adam Schaffran. We will see you next week. Remember, we make healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.